Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This morning we are looking at our last lesson concerning the Christian armor. The Christian armor of Ephesians chapter 6. We've been noticing in this lesson that if we're going to be victorious over Satan, self, and sin, that the child of God needs to be properly clothed with the Christian armor. We need to put on that belt of truth, which is commitment to the truth. We need to have that breastplate of righteousness, which represents righteous or holy living. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, remembering that God is not the enemy. God is our friend. He is the one that is helping us as we go through this life. Being at peace with God gives us confidence to take a stand against the devil. And then Paul says we need to take that shield of faith that protects us from the fiery darts of temptation. Paul continues to describe that Christian armor by encouraging us to put on the helmet of salvation, which represents the hope of eternal salvation. And then last week, as we said, we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which represents the Word of God. The Word of God is something that we must be able to use to defend ourselves against the devil. The Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4, verse number 12. The Word of God can save our soul. James 1, verse number 21. The Word of God equips us. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And so we're encouraged to study God's Word, to know God's Word, to apply God's Word, to live it out. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." You know, usually as we go through the Christian armor, that's where we stop. We mention this armor and we realize that God wants us to defend ourselves. God wants us to be properly equipped. And everything that we need, spiritually speaking, God provides with the Christian armor. But as you continue to read Ephesians chapter 6, there's one more thing that we want to mention. And we might even say there's one more piece of armor that we want to talk about. And I believe it's seen in this context, but many times it's overlooked. Read with me Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. "Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." As I read verses 18 and 19, I'm reminded that prayer is one of the keys that can help us be victorious in this life. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings, they are found in Christ Jesus. And I believe one of those spiritual blessings that Paul mentions in the book of Ephesians is prayer. You see Paul's prayer for them in Ephesians 1, verse number 19. Now Paul is encouraging others to pray. To pray for him. To pray for others. Prayer is a very powerful thing. It's one of the spiritual benefits that we have in Christ Jesus that can help us in this life. That can help us take a stand against the wiles of the devil. We can find great strength, great comfort in prayer. And so this morning, in our last lesson, dealing with the Christian armor, we want to talk about prayer. And I don't want this to just be another ordinary lesson that we mention on prayer. I want you to see how Paul mentions prayer in its context. How prayer can help us be victorious in this life. You know, as you read through the book of Revelation, I realize that it's through Christ that we gain victory. But next time you read through the book of Revelation, I want you to notice how many times prayer is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And I believe you will conclude, like me, that one of the things that helped these brethren become victorious over the devil, victorious in this spiritual warfare that we're in, is a good and solid prayer life. You'll see at the beginning of the book of Revelation, and you see God answering their prayers at the end in the book of Revelation. And so at the very beginning and at the very end, you see the brethren praying to God, and we can see that prayer was key in being victorious over the devil who is waging war against us. Revelation 12, verse number 17. Don't lose sight of that. The devil is waging war against those who keep the commandments of God. If you're striving to keep the commandments of God, if you're striving to walk in the light, if you're striving to be a New Testament Christian, the devil is waging war against you. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of devil. God has given us armor to put on that will protect us, that will equip us. And God has given us a means of communication. To be able to communicate to Him can help us in this life. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. And I want you to notice these points with me and how these points relate to prayer. Paul says in verse 18, praying always. First of all, you have the frequency of prayer. The frequency of prayer. Paul says, I want you to pray all of the time. I think we need to be reminded of that. We need to pray all of the time. Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus taught that men ought to pray and faint not. There are really only two options. We can give up, or we can endure whatever it is that we're struggling with. But if we're going to endure, this context is all about enduring the spiritual warfare. If we're going to endure, we better have a strong prayer life. We need to be praying to God, communicating to God. That's again what prayer is. In Luke 21, verse 36, Jesus taught that men ought to pray and watch, to be alert. This is something that you see the apostles putting into practice. In Acts 6, verse 4, the apostle says, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the Word and prayer. To the ministry of the Word and prayer. Think about prayer in the book of Acts. For that matter, any book of the New Testament. You'll see prayer was at the focal point. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be a strong Christian, we need to have a strong prayer life. If you would, turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. We're coming back to Ephesians, but turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Many of the passages that I'm mentioning with this first point, we know, we hear these passages quoted. We read these passages when we study God's Word. The New Testament has so much to say about prayer. Look at Colossians 4, verse 2. Here's the same point for these brethren. Paul's encouraging prayer in Ephesians chapter 6 in the context of the Christian armor. Here, Paul writing to the brethren at Colossae, coming to the end, listen to what he says. Verse chapter 4, verse number 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This verb, continue in prayer, is the same verb that is used in Hebrews 11, verse number 27, where Moses endured the affliction of Egypt. You remember the affliction that he faced in Egypt? Because he was a leader of God's people, it's something that he endured. Same verb used here in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. But Paul applies it to prayer. Here's the point Paul is making. We need to have an enduring attitude of prayer. We should pray all the time. We shouldn't give up on God. We shouldn't give up in prayer. Remember, prayer is how we communicate. God answers our prayers. 1 Peter 3, verse number 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. God hears our prayers. In Revelation 8, as I mentioned from the book of Revelation, a great book on prayer in Revelation 8. That's the chapter where there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And you remember what that symbolized? It symbolized the prayer of the saints coming up before the throne of God. The point is, prayer gets heaven's attention. And that's why we need to be praying all the time. That's why we need to have that enduring attitude of prayer. And that's what Paul says again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Praying always. Oh, don't be anxious for everything. Don't worry about everything. Philippians 4, verse 6. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But I guess the most familiar verse with this point, the frequency of prayer, would be 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Now make application of all of those verses. Here it is. Prayer is a way of life. We're not talking about opening some prayer book, reciting some prayer every morning. Friends, that's Judaism. And Jesus spoke against those kind of prayers. No, we're to have a real heart. We are to put God first. We're to be devoted and committed to God. Prayer is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. And I believe that is the emphasis. If we're going to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians 4, verse 1. If we're going to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5, verse 1. If we're going to be a strong soldier of Jesus Christ, that's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Prayer needs to be a major part of our life. Some have described prayer as the air that we breathe. Prayer is the breath of the Christian life. Prayer is the air which we breathe. You stop and think about that analogy. The air which we breathe. Prayer should be a natural part of our life. Let me illustrate. Don't do this, but just hold your breath for a second. Pretty hard, isn't it? Just hold your breath and you'll see the point why Paul says, pray all of the time. Prayer is the air, spiritually speaking, that we breathe. Prayer should be easy because it's a part of who we are. Pray without ceasing. And so verse number 18, the frequency of prayer. Continue to read with me verse number 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. Number two, you have the variety of prayer. The frequency of prayer, pray all the time. And now you have the variety of prayer. All kinds of prayer. And in fact, Paul says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? All supplication. You pray all kinds of prayer. All kinds. I'll talk more about supplications here in just a few minutes. I have a verse that I want us to look at. But just practically speaking, all kinds of prayer. Be practical. Private prayer, public prayer, silent prayer, loud prayers. We did that this morning. We pray publicly, but do we pray privately? Do we pray silently? Maybe we are communicating with God at work. You see, we can pray it all the time. We can pray all the time. We can talk with God. We can communicate with God. Here's a good one. Pray out loud. I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to learn how to do that. Find a place where you can talk to God. It might be you're driving down the road. Nobody else is in the car. Learn to communicate with God because prayer can help you. Prayer can strengthen you. In prayer, we make known our requests to God. In prayer, we express our thanksgiving to God. In prayer, we ask God to forgive us of our sins. You see, you have God's first law of pardon, gospel obedience, baptism. But you realize prayer is how we access God's second law of pardon, 1 John 1, verse 9. We confess our sins to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so we are to pray at all times, and we are to pray different kinds of prayers. Turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. As you're turning over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, there are a couple of verses. Psalm 55 verse 17. We're to pray in the evening, in the morning, at the noon, and at noon. Again, we're to pray at all times. But to me, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 really shed light on the point that we're making about the variety of prayer. We're to pray all the time, and we are to pray all kinds of prayers. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, listen to this, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice that. As you're reading through 1 Timothy chapter 2, supplications, prayers, intercessions, the variety, notice that, the variety of prayers. You see, there are different kinds of prayers for different kinds of situations, different kinds of circumstances, for different kinds of people. All men, those who are in positions of authority. What is Paul encouraging here? To have a good prayer life, to pray without ceasing, to pray in a variety of ways. Work through this with me. Prayers of supplication. Supplication. A request for a recognized need. A request for a recognized need. Isn't it interesting that Paul mentions supplications in Ephesians chapter 6? What is the recognized need? Spiritual strength in the spiritual warfare. You might even tie it with the armor. Each piece of armor that we're to put on should be put on fervently in prayer. Fervently in prayer as we're committed to the truth. As we strive to live righteously. As we strive to be at peace. As we strive to overcome temptation. Each piece of armor should be put on prayerfully. Pray at all times. Pray with supplications. But Paul gives us more than supplications. Supplications. Again, a recognized need. Prayers, then Paul mentions here in verse 1, general prayers. But then he mentions prayers of intercessions. We are praying for specific individuals. We are making intercession on the behalf of individuals. We're bringing their name and bringing it before the very throne of God. By the way, what a beautiful word picture as it relates to prayer in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. If you want to kind of get an idea of what you're doing when you're praying it all the time, when you're offering a variety of prayers, you are entering into the divine throne room, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And you are bringing your request, here specifically prayers of intercession, you're bringing that person's name before the very throne of God to find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, the variety of prayer, the frequency of prayer. But go back, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, according to the Spirit's instruction. You may write down Jude verse number 20. We need to pray according to the Spirit's instructions that have been revealed in the Word of God. Paul's not talking about some miraculous thing that one experiences being in the Spirit praying to God. The Spirit has given us instruction. We're looking at this instruction. We are breaking it down so we understand what Paul is saying. We're to pray all the time with all kinds of prayers because of all the different circumstances and situations that we experience in this life. Verse number 18. Now notice the third point. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Number three, you have the manner of prayer. The frequency of prayer. The variety of prayer. And number three, the manner of prayer. With all perseverance and watchfulness. Some translations, with all alertness. What's the point Paul is making here in verse number 19? You need to know what you're praying about. Don't approach God haphazardly, half-heartedly. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're bringing before the throne of God. Verse number 19 is speaking about the intensive commitment that we are making to God in prayer. Question, does that describe your prayer life? Does that describe my prayer life? Again, think about what you're praying about. Think about think about the situation. Be watchful. Be alert. I know I've read through this without thinking about the manner of prayer. Be watchful. Be alert. Let me give you some things to think about. Pray defensively. Notice how that fits under that point. Be alert. Be watchful. Pray defensively. Matthew 6, verse 13. Father, lead us not into temptation. Pray defensively. We are to pray for one another. The book of Revelation. Pray victoriously. Lord, deliver us. That's what the saints were praying for. In the book, you're going to find that deliverance. But I want to turn to one more example for this point, the manner of prayer. And I thought of some other examples, but to me, Colossians 4, we were in Colossians 4 just a few minutes ago. Colossians chapter 4. Read with me verse number 12. We're reading about Epaphras. Colossians 4, verse number 12. And then we'll make some more application and the lesson will be yours. Notice what it says about Epaphras. Who is one of you, a servant of Christ, who salutes you. Now watch this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's the idea of Ephesians 6, verse number 19. The manner of prayer. Always laboring fervently in prayer. Be watchful. Be alert. Practically speaking, Epaphras knew what was going on. He knew the situation. He knew what was going on individually with these brethren. And he was laboring fervently in prayer. He knew the challenges. He saw the needs. He knew the brethren that he was working with. You know, brethren, there's a reason why we have a bulletin. And in that bulletin, we have a section, prayer request. I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about those individuals that are listed in our bulletin. Those individuals have needs. If we make application of what we're talking about here from Colossians 4 verse 2, we're going to be like Epaphras. We're going to be aware of what is going on. If a brother or sister is struggling, hurting, we're going to know because we're interested in that individual and we're going to labor fervently in prayer. We're going to pray that they're going to grow. We're going to pray that they're going to be stronger. If a brother or sister is facing some affliction, maybe the loss of a loved one, we're going to be alert. We're going to be attentive toward them. We know what they're going through and we're going to pray for them. Really, that speaks about the intimacy that we are to have within the family of God. It might be that we don't know what's going on within the body of Christ, within the family of God, because we're never here. Sometimes that happens within the body. You have members that aren't here. Not only are they forsaking the assembly, but they're having some real struggles in their life, and they need our prayers. As you think about the manner of prayer, we're to pray with all perseverance, with all alertness. We need to know what is going on in one another's lives. We need to know what we are facing, the challenges, the struggles. Because when we know the challenges, when we know the struggles, we can pray for one another. And that is exactly what Paul is encouraging. But you know, sometimes we struggle with this part of the Christian life because we don't want to share anything. We don't want anybody to know that we're hurting, that we're struggling, maybe that we're being challenged with this or that. I mean, there are young couples, old couples that might even be struggling in the marriage. Don't want to say anything about that. We don't want brethren to know. Well, Paul is encouraging for us to be involved in one another's life to such a degree that we know what's going on because we love each other. We're here to help one another. And you know the best way that you can help the brethren? One of the best ways that you can help with the family of God is by praying for one another. I heard a man the other day talking about evangelism and he made some really great points on evangelism. And he said something in that lesson that got my attention. He said that when he is studying with an individual or perhaps maybe one of the members is studying with an individual within the community, they pray about that situation. Everybody in the congregation knows when he is studying with somebody that is outside of the body, or if one of the members is studying with somebody that is outside of the body of Christ. Everybody in the congregation knows it, so that everybody can pray about it. Think about it in a very practical way. We have a lot of things going on with this congregation. We have a lot of works that we're involved in. We have the prison ministry. I know we're supporting different missionaries. Do we pray about the prison work? Do we pray about the different missionaries that we're supporting? I'm thankful that Brother Chris gives us a report quite often on the work that is going on in Kenya. The various needs that need to be met. Are we praying for the brethren at Kenya? You know, we have 8 graduates this year that will be graduating from school. We have 6 men that will be preaching the gospel. If anybody needs prayers, it's those 6 men, because they're going out into the field and it's going to be a challenge. They don't quite realize the challenges that they're going to face, but they will know them experientially, I promise you, within a few years. But you realize that we can start helping them right now. I'd encourage you to pray for the school, pray for the students. And not only Southwest, there are other schools that are preparing men and women to be a part of the ministry. There are so many things that we can pray about. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll probably come to the conclusion, I know I did, that I'm not praying enough. And when I read through Ephesians chapter 6, it should remind me about the importance, the value, the need of prayer. Do you realize that prayer has the power to move the hand of God? David said in Psalm 119, 173, "Let thy hand help me." Prayer has the power to move the hand of God. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. When was the last time God heard your voice? When was the last time you went before the throne of God, poured your heart out to God? Maybe, like we pointed out in Psalm 39, cry to God because of your struggles, because of your hardships. When was the last time you went to the throne of God praying for somebody else, praying for a work, praying for an individual? Brethren, spiritually speaking, there are so many things that are going on in this spiritual warfare. And one of the greatest weapons that we have is prayer. A means to communicate to God. This morning we want you to know that heaven's invitation is open to anybody that needs the Lord's help. In other words, we're here to pray for you. We're here to go to the throne of God on your behalf. Don't be embarrassed if you come forward needing the Lord's help. The Lord's here to help you. We're here to help you. We're here to pray for one another. Let's not be casual in our spiritual life. Let's allow the things that we've learned from the Scriptures to provoke us unto good works, to provoke us unto a more fervent prayer life. This is the Lord's invitation. This is an opportunity to go to the throne of God on your behalf, my behalf. If you need the Lord's help this morning, we want you to know that help is there. God's the one that provides that help. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have a spiritual need, We want you to know God is here. We're here to help you, to pray for you, to encourage you. If you're not a child of God, we encourage you to think about your spiritual life, to become a child of God, to have access to all of these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. I hope this series of lessons will encourage you to be stronger in the Lord as you put on the armor of God and that you put it on fervently in prayer. Lord's invitation is always open. If you need a response, won't you please come right now.